Good to see you. Opportunity to share the Word of God together this morning. To look at a subject this morning as opposed to a passage particularly. We've moved into Advent, haven't we? Advent's not a great festival for evangelical churches, but it's one of those that you see a lot more in Anglican churches and Catholic churches. But it's a good opportunity really to just refresh ourselves and have a look at what's going on around and about. And as we move to that time, we're kind of entering a time of waiting. I don't know how you are with waiting. Is waiting a good thing for you? Or is it a bad thing for you? I know for children, For children, of course, generally waiting for Christmas is a bad thing. They don't want to wait for Christmas. I remember my youngest getting very ill one Christmas because he got so excited that Christmas is coming. There are two, maybe more, there are two really big themes for Advent that I want to look at. And that the first is this week, and that is waiting. And next week, I want to look at Revelation. Coming from this phrase, O come, that's waiting, isn't it? And then Emmanuel, God with us, what has been revealed to us. So that's what I'm going to look at. Who here likes queuing? It depends what it's for, absolutely, yeah. Who likes queues? That's probably slightly different. No one likes queues. Traffic queues, queuing in the shops, queuing here, queuing there. This time of year, it's just queuing everywhere, isn't it? There's this kind of hidden etiquette in the UK where queuing is very important. I was watching a video. I'm going to show you the video, actually. I was watching a video recently of Stephen Fry made about people arriving in the UK and what to do when you arrive in the UK. So shall we just look at that? Yes, that's somewhere when you come into Heathrow or something you might see. English people are very strange, aren't they? They're as a friend of mine, he used to say, he's not English, I might add, he used to say when I used to meet him overseas, he said, there's a problem with you English people, he said, is that you just love to queue all the time. He said, my favourite joke is this, if you want to find out where the British people are in the room, just get one person to stand in front of the other person, and then everyone who's British will line up behind them. We love not to wait, but we do like to queue. And there's a truth in that, I think. There's a kind of justice, isn't there, in queuing? But there's a kind of desire that the queue would melt away quickly. But we don't like to wait, do we? We don't like to wait. And I think that's quite something that we need to think about this morning. I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase. Come on, get on with it. Waiting's hard. But actually, in the Bible, waiting is part of the narrative of faith. If you look at the very main themes of characters in the Bible, you see over and over again people who are having to struggle with this whole concept of waiting. Abraham had to wait for a son. Joseph had to wait in prison. Moses had to wait twice in the desert for 40 years each time. King David had to wait for his throne. And Jeremiah had to wait for his prophecies to come true for years. There are many others, of course, in the Bible who live with lives punctuated by waiting. Hannah, for example. And waiting's a really common theme in the Bible. And one of the biggest waiting times, waiting messages in the Bible, is the coming of a promised king called the Messiah. And it's punctuated through Scripture over and over again in the Old Testament for thousands of years prior to it happening. One of those perhaps would be this one. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one who will be a ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. I mean, this is written hundreds of years before Christ came. And they are waiting for hundreds of years for something to happen. Another one perhaps is this. For to you a child is born. To you a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government, or the greatness of his government and peace, there'll be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, ruling it with justice and righteousness from that time forward and forever. That's Isaiah speaking about the coming of a king 800 years prior to the event. Zechariah who also speaks, says this: "Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, I see your king comes to you, righteous, victorious, lowly, riding on a donkey, the colt, the foal of a donkey." And then you see it more and more places in the Old Testament. For thousands of years, the whisper of one who's to come erupts from the mouths of the writers of Scripture. We know, but just imagine for a moment if we were the ones who were the waiting ones. If we were the ones who were in the midst of the struggle of waiting, seeing the world around us falling apart through invasion, crushed dreams, looking at each person as they go by, could this be the one? Could this be the one? Could this be the one? Waiting like that is really hard, isn't it? Particularly waiting for something that you don't know when it's going to come. Particularly if you're waiting for something when you don't quite know what it's going to look like when it shows up. Or what impact it's going to have when it turns up. There's a kind of desperation in that, isn't there? I'll give you an example. I brought my journal in this morning and has various entries in here. And I'll start with one that's on the 11th of August last year. And you'll quickly pick up. This is actually speaking backwards to the 6th of August. And it says this: "Well, it's been a journey, the last few weeks of lows and highs, culminating in a cash offer for our house. Last Thursday, Ali was at her friend Liz's and burst into tears and dropped the phone due to the emotional investment we have made." And then turning over to the 27th of October, the day we should have exchanged on our house, a really difficult week with the buyer pulling out of the purchase of 15 Ursham Road. It all feels a bit of an albatross round our necks, stuck and unable to move on. We may also have to lose our purchase, which is really tough. It's a struggle for both of us. Interesting, isn't it? We were waiting, waiting, waiting. Monday the 2nd of November says this: "Still nothing." Tuesday the 10th of November: "Still nothing." Waiting, waiting, waiting. 2nd of December last year, a year ago yesterday: "House is sold. We think." Sale agreed on Monday. After last time, there's a sense of being pleased, but not excited. It's too early for that. And then the 17th of March, at last an opportunity to sit and write. Moved into 153A Salisbury Road. In the end, uneventful. Very good. Our sale of our house in Hailsham to move down here to join with you was a case of waiting in darkness. We couldn't see what was coming and what was going to happen. It was entirely beyond our control. Some of you might feel like that today. And I found great comfort in reading the Psalms, because the psalmist was able to say, "Where are you, God? What are you doing?" And I found great comfort in being able to share in that. "What are you doing, O God?" And it's very helpful to know that waiting's not uncommon. It's a shared experience for the people who live with faith in God. And I'm not immune to it. And nor are you. It's not a matter of failed faith. It's not a matter of having a failed God. It may feel that way. And we may want to say it. We may want to scream it. But it's not really true. The people of God were waiting for their Messiah. And they must have really felt abandoned by God when the Greeks turned up instead of the Messiah turning up. And then when the Romans turned up instead of a Messiah turning up. What are you doing, God? And when we come to Christmas and the baby's finally born, when the expectations are finally fulfilled, shepherds are streaming off the hills having had visions of angels, and wise men from somewhere far away turn up with peculiar presents, And Simeon, 8 days later, declaring what he declares over the baby Jesus, "Now dismiss your servant, Lord, for my eyes have seen your salvation." What happens next? They go to Egypt, then to Nazareth. Nothing happens for another 30 years. Waiting, waiting, waiting. And then out of the desert comes a man who goes into a synagogue, reads a passage from Isaiah, and declares, "Now's the time. Now's the time." A lot of waiting. In the Bible, there are two forms of time. You might know this already. Chronos and Kairos, two forms of time. And we don't like waiting. We like to get things done, don't we? We like things to happen now. Now is the best time, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. Right now, Lord, is the best time for this thing to happen. And we love Chronos time. Everyone knows what Chronos time is, I'm assuming. TikTok time, time on your watch, as in chronograph, your watch, a clock. You get home by a certain time, don't you? That's that kind of time. It might not be absolutely hours, minutes, and seconds, but it's to do with seasons, and it's to do with moments that are right. And we need that kind of time to plan out our day, don't we? It's no good going to the doctors and saying, "I need to see the doctor." "Well, you know, he'll see you sometime during this day or possibly tomorrow. You just stay there and wait for him to become free." That's not the way we would like to deal with life in those terms. So Chronos time is quite important to us. And not to have it is very, very frustrating for us Westerners. My father-in-law worked, he stopped working in Africa now, but he used to work in Kenya. And the common thing was to have a meeting in Kenya. And when they had a meeting in Kenya, they would say, "Well, where is the person I'm meeting with?" "Oh," they said, "they're on their way coming." Is that a phrase that's familiar to anyone? Yes, Gene's saying yes in Zambia. It must have been the same. "I'm on my way coming," which means I'm coming. However, if I meet anybody on the way, I'll be delayed. And if there's anything else that needs doing, I'll be delayed. And I'll get there when I get there. I'll get there at the right moment. For them, the journey is perhaps as important as the destination. You see, not everyone works on Chronos time. Indeed, it doesn't seem that God works on Chronos time. Not for me. He might do it for you, but he doesn't do it for me. If God's like us, he would have provided Jesus much earlier, wouldn't he? Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, if you've got a Bible. I will put it on the screen. Romans chapter 5. It says this. You see, you could read from verses 1 to 6. This is just the final part of it, verse 6. "You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." You see, in this passage, the Romans were really concerned about what was happening to them. And they were saying, "Where's God out of control in this situation?" And Paul writes to encourage them. They're waiting for things to turn out all right. They want to know that things are going to be all right in the end. And Paul's response is to point to the history of waiting in these terms. He says this, "You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." There's the use of the word time, but the Greek word is not chronos. The Greek word is kairos. So instead of being days, hours, and minutes, it's at just the right moment. A moment of fulfillment, if you like. And God seems to work in that way much more than any other way, which means just the right moment, God does something. We're very, very keen in the West on Chronos time. We love to run our diary. We love to run by the watch. We don't like really to run by the moment, and it can be problematic if we're facing times of waiting, like in my diary. We get so caught up, don't we, in the desperation to solve the problem of waiting. We see waiting as a problem. And we forget that actually waiting is part of what God is doing. The story of Joseph is a story of frustrated waiting in the Old Testament. A young man with a great future finds himself, instead of being great, in slavery. Then he finds himself in prison. And there's no answer as to why that has happened to him. He's just waiting in prison. There's no reason that's given to him. He's just waiting in prison, and there he is. And there was purpose for Joseph in waiting and in his suffering. And there's times when there's purpose in our waiting too. A few things I've got to note on that. First of all is this. Waiting challenges our character. So have you ever noticed that? I've noticed that. Waiting challenges our character. For God, more important than getting things done is getting things right. More important than getting us to do things is getting us right. For us, it's so often the other way around, isn't it? It doesn't matter how we are, just get things done. But for God, he wants to deal with us. You know, I'm an impulsive kind of charge ahead kind of guy. Some of you know that. But I'm not as impulsive as I used to be. I have at many times been caused to wait in my life, and the house sale is not a large one. I've had others that are much more serious. And that always challenges my impulsiveness, because if I'm being told to wait, I can't do anything, which is really frustrating. For Joseph in the Old Testament, this lad needed challenging and he needed changing. One day he's going to be prime minister of Egypt, but the way he was when he turned up there, he was nowhere near ready to do that task. At the beginning of the story, he's a horrendous person. A big-headed, proud, boastful, arrogant, spoilt little brat. Not the qualities we would want in a prime minister. I'm not saying anything about the current prime minister or any previous prime minister. Not the kind of guy who's going to be able to serve God effectively. He needed humbling. He needed character adjustment. He needed to be challenged. He needed to become a servant of prisoners. And through that, his life was gently changed. Waiting challenges our character. Waiting always challenges our character. The challenge for us, though, is how we let it change our character. We can charge off, blame God, get bitter, get angry. That is one response in terms of changing our character, isn't it? We can become self-destructive. Imagine what Joseph had been if he'd said, oh, what's the point? I'm going to go off and do something else. I'm going to commit suicide or whatever. The challenge for us is to allow God to use that waiting in us to change us for him. To our character to become more like his character. Probably not perfect. Any perfect people here today? You're not, Roger. We're all works in progress, aren't we? But we are to be challenged in the work in progress. And like the Israelites spending 40 years in the desert, being changed from being Egyptians into the people of God, we need times when we are waiting for that too. Could you welcome the waiting? It's a challenge, isn't it? So waiting challenges our character. Another thing does is that waiting brings us closer to God. It's easy to rush ahead of things when we've got things planned out. But actually, the unease of waiting calls us to press into the one who holds our waiting. It calls us to press into God and seek his resources and to call on him. The interesting thing about waiting for the Kairos moment is that we're called to wait and it has to be answered by him before we can move on. And the closer we are to him, the more likely we are to hear his voice. One common expression I hear from people in situations of persecution and suffering is the kind of relationship that they have with God. Now, you would have thought that people who will suffer immense persecution and times of waiting for their loved ones to be released from prison or all sorts of things like that would have driven them away from faith, would have created huge problems, that would have increased their doubts, that would have been, you know, that might be true for some, but for so many of them, actually, the opposite is true. Their faith deepens. Their trust in God deepens. They draw closer to God. They're not driven away. They have an amazing relationship with God. I've met many, many people who worked in China in very difficult times, whose lives were glowing with the presence of God in their lives. That goes way beyond those of us who perhaps have it reasonably easy. So waiting brings us closer to God. And another thing is that waiting creates space for things to be just right. It is true, or it's a truth, that allowing God to change us and bring us closer to Him allows for the moment of fulfillment to develop in us and in the world and in the situation around us. God does know what He's doing, contrary to some people's opinion. We don't know what God is doing, which is the frustrating part. But He allows things to move until there's a perfect alignment. And often our waiting's not just about our relationship with God, it's also about the right things being in the right places at the right times. We can look sometimes and wonder why things didn't happen the way we would have done them, or the way they should have, according to me. And then we get cross with God sometimes about it. Ruth Graham, late wife of Billy Graham, the evangelist, said this about her praying and waiting for her husband. She said this. She said, "God has not always answered my prayers. If He had, I would have married the wrong man several times." And it's true, isn't it? When we get impatient, we think we know the answer. And sometimes we need to wait. How are we at waiting? The last thing I want to look at is, are we there yet? Remembering expectation. There's a danger that in the waiting becomes the thing we identify with, particularly if we're waiting for a long time. Over the years, I've met many people who've got stuck in the waiting loop. Remember Stephen Fry saying, "After you, no, no, after you, no, no, after you." I see many people who get stuck in the waiting loop. Some people quite like being stuck in their little waiting loop. Some people really enjoy it because people look at them and they go, "Oh, poor so-and-so, they're still waiting. Oh." And they think, "Oh, I kind of like that." Some people quite suffer and quite enjoy suffering because they like what they get out of it. They enjoy the sympathy they receive for their suffering. Suffering helps them to be noticed, and so without that suffering, they won't be noticed. But part of the waiting, the changing and the challenging, part of moving closer to God is there that we need to remember that we need an expectation that will take us out of the wait at the end into something that God has for us. There needs to be an expectation for the fulfillment, that the waiting isn't all there is. There's something more at the end. So one of the challenges for us is don't get lost in the fog of waiting. It's okay to sit in the back of God's car and keep saying this, "Are we nearly there yet? Are we nearly there yet?" God doesn't mind us asking that question. If we don't have a vision for our destination, we won't see when we've got there. We have to have an expectation or we will walk in circles. Our relationship with God is important because it's only in listening to His prompting that we hear the kairos moment of, now is the time. Today is the day. It's time to move. In the desert, the people of God knew when to move by a certain thing happening. The cloud lifted, a pillar of cloud or pillar of fire formed, and the people of God would follow it. It wasn't because the sun had moved to a certain point in the sky, that's Chronos time. And it wasn't because the moon was at a certain point at night, that's Chronos time. It wasn't because it was a certain time of the year, a certain season, because that's Chronos time. They moved because God was moving. And when God is on the move, they needed to move. We Christians need to grow that kind of spiritual antenna to be able to hear what he's saying and to move with him. And that comes from spending time with God and doing and thinking and saying what he's saying. It's not an excuse to get daft and jump into the local zoo and jump into the lion enclosure to see what God will do. I know some people have done that in the past. It's not a great idea. It's about becoming sensitive to the Spirit of God, listening to his prompting and to his call. What's he saying to you today? What simple little thing is he saying to you today? Remember when we sat here and Charlie did the whole listen to God and hear what he's saying thing? What's he saying to you today? Send a card to somebody? Invite someone to dinner? When we do the little things with God, it tends to allow us to do the bigger things for him as well. There was a friend of mine in Hong Kong who decided one day that he was going to stop and wait for God to do something. And he sat down in his house and he gave up his work and he sat in his house and he waited for God. After 2 years, when God had not turned up, he decided that that's probably not the best way of waiting for God. The best thing to do is to carry on doing some of the little things that we do and to listen for his voice to steer us on the greater path. Have expectation for God to do something. And as we move into this season of Christmas, we need to remember that waiting is a very important part of our Christian lives. Let's just pray. Ask God to help us. Perhaps some of us are stuck in waiting. Maybe some of us are saying, come on, God, get on with it. Maybe some of us are thinking that God should be working, should be doing something now. Some of us might feel that we do actually need to be changed in our hearts. And the many other things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We don't want to thank you, but we do thank you for the times when we have to wait. Because it's actually in the waiting that we grow. It's actually in the waiting that we see things happening. It's in the waiting that we begin to change. We begin to be challenged. Lord, will you speak to us in our waiting? And for those of us, Lord, perhaps who are stuck, will you release us from something of our waiting and restore to us something of the expectation of moving forward with you? We ask now, Lord, that you would just speak to us. Use us. Work through us, Lord, in the small things as we wait for you to do the big things in our lives. In Jesus' name.